Time and Eternity. A Biblical Study. Chapter 2. By G.T. Stevenson. Derivation of Olam. In academic circles a century ago, a popular exercise consisted of research into the origins of important words. It was thought that this would shed much light upon the meaning attached to such terms by writers who later used them. It is now realized that such research, though useful, is of minor importance, since words take on new meanings, and old connotations are modified so that ancient origins cease to have much significance respecting usage and meaning. This semantic process is well known. The term hell provides a good example. In Chaucer's day, hell meant to hide or cover over, and hell formed a fitting rendering for shell and Hades, the unseen realm into which the soul entered at death. But under the dogmatic theology of the Middle Ages, it came to be used for other more sinister concepts, till in 1611 Avenue it was applied not only to Sheol and Hades, but also to Gehenna and Tartarus. And then came to imply the doctrine of unending torment. In modern times the most common usage surely must be in a rather vulgar phrase, hell of a messer, of extremely versatile application far removed from Chaucer's usage. However, a few remarks respecting the derivation of the Hebrew word olam are included here. This noun is derived from the verb olam, universally accepted as meaning to hide, keep secret, or obscure. Included in each occurrence of the verb is the idea of hiddenness, of inability or unwillingness to perceive or disclose something. This underlying idea is probably best expressed in English by the term obscurity. In keeping with this basic concept, there occurs in Hebrew the noun olma, derived from olam, a young woman or virgin, general. 24:43-28:PSA:68:25, Pro:30:19, Song:1:3-6:8, Isa:7:14, for whom Jewish modesty enjoined concealment of her feminine charms. Bearing these facts in mind, we may readily anticipate that when olam is applied to time, some element of concealment, obscurity, or indefiniteness will be present. One need read only a few of the 400-plus occurrences to realize that this is so. The first time we meet the term is in Genesis 3:22, list they take of thee the tree of life and live thro' olam. Commonly, uncritical thinking employs the English phrase forever. But this cannot mean eternal life, since it had or would have had a beginning in time, either at the creation, or hypothetically at the eating of the fruit, whatever we may take that to mean. And b, its duration is unspecified. The most one can assuredly draw from the text is that the life would last for some indefinite period, no specific end being stated. Both its nature and duration are hidden in obscurity. Hence, olam seems as appropriate word to use in such a context. Jonah's case is important. In Jonah 2:6, olam is used to denote the time of his sojourn in the interior of the great fish. Shut away in complete darkness, he would have no means of judging the passing of time, which along with most other percepts, would be quite obscure. In his case olam represents but the days. But the idea of obscurity is obvious. Or, taking another case at random, in 1 Kings 1:31, Bathsheba is reported to have greeted David upon his deathbed thus, "Let my lord the king live thro' olam." Neither she nor David could have expected this period to be more than a few days, but its indefiniteness, its obscurity, correspond with the basic meaning of olam, so the term was fitting. Quite often the sense of indefiniteness may be expressed in English by again or anymore, e.g. Exodus 14:13. "He shall see these Egyptians. No more olam," where one might translate no more at all, or not anymore, or not again, without any thought of eternity. The foregoing discussion suggests that we may examine references to olam and olamim without any preconceived notions about the duration of time indicated by these words. Usage, context, and common sense must determine any conclusions that may emerge. returned to Main in Dexpidge.